Hello, and welcome to the Preview Spotlight on the Comic Book Cage podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting items from the current month's previews catalog. This is Preview Spotlight number 74 for the December 2013 previews. Now, in this episode, we'll be going over some of the items and previews that you might find interesting. As always, these have an open submission policy for these types of episodes. I really encourage everyone to send in clips every month because, I mean, I'm going to point out what I find interesting. And I read a subset of comics. I read a lot, but it's still a tiny subset of what's out there. And having other people send in clips pointing out what they enjoy is going to help other people find stuff that they're going to like that I'm just completely unaware of. And frankly, this is a way I find out about new comics. Drew's turned me on to a number of new comics, so have a number of other people and stuff. Sam's done that a couple of times, which I think is great. So, you know, there are thousands of items in previews every month. It's easy for things to get lost in the shuffle. Usually at this time of the month, I've gone through previews, I've looked at stuff, but when I go through the teleconference or when I finalize my order, I find that I've missed stuff. And usually when I'm going through, like, this month's order, I'll realize I missed something in November, because there's just a ton of stuff in there. So, you know, again, send in clips, highlight stuff you're interested in. Even if you think it's well-known, it may have flown under somebody else's radar. You know, we're going to be starting at the beginning of previews, working our way to the back. Obviously, we're not going item by item, page by page, or even publisher by publisher. We're just going to hit the highlights, and those highlights are chosen by people like you. So, when the January previews comes out, and that's going to be on January 1st, it's going to ship a little about a week later than normal because of the Christmas holiday and stuff. But when that comes out, when the online solicits come up, and those should be up, frankly, shortly after this episode goes up. As you see stuff for the next month's previews that looks interesting, make a note, send in a clip, participate in this, because that's really what makes these episodes, I think, so great. And we've had some excellent turnout this month and the last couple of months and stuff. Let's keep that up, and, you know, with January, maybe make that a New Year's resolution to participate in these episodes a bit more, because there's just, like I said, wonderful stuff out there, and it's easy for people to miss it. So, with that, let's start listening to some clips. Starting us off on page 36 of the previews catalog is Terminator, Enemy of My Enemy, number 1 of 6 from Dark Horse Comics. This is written by Dan Jolly, who's been doing Bloodhound recently. Art is by Jamal Igle, who's done Supergirl. Jamal's just a terrific artist. They've got a sample page here. It looks wonderful. I've been liking what Dan Jolly's doing over on Bloodhound. That sounds very good. And the Terminator franchise is really heating up. There's talk of a fifth movie, a television series, the two intertwining and whatnot. We, of course, have the other Terminator series going on, Terminator Salvation Final Battle by Straczynski. So this particular one, though, Enemy of My Enemy, is set in 1985, where Skynet has targeted a scientist whose discoveries threaten its future. But there's no resistance fighter that was sent back to save her, so, you know, we'll see what happens. Again, I like time travel stories. The Terminator franchise is a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to seeing what they're doing here. And Dark Horse knows how to handle franchises very well. This is a $3.99 comic book. It is one of the comic book page picks of the month, so we got a 50% discount through DCBS. Again, great creative team, 6-issue miniseries. It's Terminator, Enemy of My Enemy, number 1 of 6 from Dark Horse on page 36. Check it out.
Hey guys, this is Drew with a pick from Dark Horse on page 58 of the previews catalog. This is Matt Kent's Mind Management, number 19. This is 24 pages for $3.99. Matt Kent is doing the writing, the art, and the cover. He does it all on this title, and it's been really great. It's a really great series. And this is a kickoff to a new storyline. And once again, a good jumping on point if you've missed those first 18 issues. this would be a good place to pop on. I cannot recommend it enough. It's fantastic, and it's great. And it's great in a floppy comic form versus digital. It's really a nice put-together package. It's always got some extra stuff in there, and it's really worth having in print, in my opinion. And I love it. So I can't recommend it enough. So once again, Mind Management, number 19 from Dark Horse.
This is Derek from the podcast The Comics Alternative, and my first pick of the month in the December previews catalog is on page 59 in the Dark Horse section. It is Fatima, The Blood Spinners. This is by Gilbert Hernandez of Love and Rockets fame, and this is one of the what is turning out to be many non-Love and Rockets stories that he's been creating over the past several years. This story is about a drug called Spin, which offers a wild trip, and it follows its users' inevitable rapid deterioration into undead flesh eaters. So it's a take, or a spin, if you will, on the zombie narrative. Now, despite the side effects, the drug is so popular that the human population is dying out. With no cure to be found, the beautiful, lovesick Fatima may be the only thing standing between the survivors and the apocalypse. So this is a comic to read if you like zombies, mutants, drug lords, and gorgeous women. This collects the complete series that came out starting about a year and a half ago from Dark Horse. I remember at the time being a gigantic, and still a gigantic, Hernandez Brothers fan. I was reading Fatima and wondered about the story, thinking that it might not be up to Gilbert Hernandez's best work. Maybe that was a phenomena due to the seriality of the story, reading it in, I think it was 3 installments. So I'm going to go back and read the entire thing in this collection, Fatima, The Blood Spinners, and maybe my opinion will change. And you can find more about this comic, which the Comics Journal says is, if you like comics about people getting shot in the head, it's literally impossible to find a better one. Then turn to page 59 of the previews catalog.
Hello again, everyone. This is TJ back for another preview spotlight. I'm feeling a little bit under the weather, so I apologize if my voice isn't as clear as possible. My first selection this month is going to be in the Dark Horse section on page 70. It's Alabaster Grimmer Tales hardcover. It's 120 pages for $19.99, but it's on special from DCBS for $9.99. That's 50% off. This is written by Caitlin R. Kiernan with art by Steve Leiber and colors by Rachel Rosenberg. And here's a little bit of the description. Dancy Flammarion possesses a savvy awareness and a keen knife for the monsters that lurk in the shadows. She does the bidding of an unholy host, a legion of dark gods guiding her across America's southern wilds. And a blackbird's grim tales of her battles could be his only salvation from becoming dinner for a boxcar full of beastie hobos. And this collection basically collects the boxcar tales that were serialized in Dark Horse Presents, number 1 through 13. The reason I wanted to spotlight this for you guys is that, along with comics, I also read a lot of genre fiction, especially science and fantasy. And Caitlin R. Kiernan is one of the best dark fantasy writers writing today and probably for the last 15 years. They also have a pull quote in here from Neil Gaiman calling Caitlin R. Kiernan is the poet and the bard of the wasted and the lost. And she writes really dark, surreal fiction that just really, really takes you to a dark place. And I kind of like her horror stories. And this is the second series that she's done with this character, I believe. And it's just a great dark horror if you're interested in that. I know some people like John aren't interested in certain types of horror, but I just thought I'd highlight it because I know that this is the type of book that not a lot of people that aren't into her work or interested in that dark stuff get a chance to see. And the previous art has just been so fantastic. So I thought this would be a good one to spotlight.
Derek, once again, from the Comics Alternative Podcast. My next pick of the month is also in Dark Horse. You'll find it on page 71, the EC Archives, Weird Fantasy, Volume Number 1. Now, if you've listened to the preview show in past months, you'll know that I am a big fan of the EC archives. I lamented the fact that first Gemstone and then GC Press picked up and then let go of the EC archives line, and I was overjoyed earlier this year when Dark Horse decided to start publishing again, basically picking up where Gemstone and GC left off. Now we have volume number one of another EC title that has not yet been collected in the EC Archives series, and that is Weird Fantasy. So this is volume one. Here you'll find the work of course, William Gaines, Al Feldstein, Harry Harrison, Gardner Fox, Jang Kamen, Harvey Kurtzman, and great joy, Wally Wood. So if you are a big fan of EC Comics, the classic EC Comics, or you've heard a lot about them and you want to find out more about them, then you couldn't get a better start than the EC Archives that Dark Horse is now putting out. You can find out more about this collection on page 71 of the catalog.
This is TJ here with another selection from the Dark Horse section, this time on page 75. It's the Lone Wolf and Cub Omnibus, Volume 4. And this is 696 black and white pages for $19.99 and I think 40% off at DCBS. With writing done by Kazuo Kiyoki, Goseki Kojima is the artist. And this is the omnibus of the Volume 8, 9, and 10 trade paperbacks that Dark Horse has done of this series previously. I believe there was 28 total, and so now they're basically combining three of those little volumes into these bigger volumes, and so it's going to be able to have the whole collection in a lot less volumes. What's also nice is that they've increased the size to 5x7 trade paperback, which is great, and I have the first two of these, which are already out, and they're easy to read. You can, you know, they don't have a lot of gutter loss, something that you worry about with large trade paperbacks like this with 696 pages. For those who haven't really been exposed to this series before, the first couple lines of the description kind of tell you what you need to know to get into it. Once the Shogun's loyal retainer and now a disgraced exile, Ogamo Ito travels a path of vengeance with his son, Diogoro. And that's what this is really about. It's a story about a father and son who must navigate the world as they look for revenge on the people that have wronged them. And the art is just so good, and the battle sequences are so so well done and so dynamic. And it's just a really good story with really good characters, and I just can't recommend it highly enough. Especially with the larger size omnibus, the art is even easier to see in the details and the hard work that he's done to make this such an epic story.
Hello, John, and everybody listening to the Comic Book Page podcast. This is Darren. I am a longtime listener to the Comic Book Page podcast. I've been listening for years now, and I am a very, however, infrequent contributor to the podcast. So I figured it's about time I did something about that. You know, John has mentioned many times how this podcast just tends to really come to life when we have more contributors. And yeah, I heard Drew's call in the last podcast to let's fire up some other people and get them contributing too. So I'm happy to pitch in. I've just really loved the work that John and the others do on this Comic Book Page podcast. It's one of my favorite comic book podcasts. I never miss it. So thank you for all the good work on it. My first submission for this episode of the Preview Spotlight is Forever Evil, number 6. Tell you what, I'm a DC guy at heart. Hopefully, by the way, I'm going to do a little bit better with my predictions. I call them predictions, my list of some of the things I'm excited about in this month's previews. I think last time I contributed was a couple of years ago during the launch of the New 52. I think I had some pretty good suggestions, maybe, but I do recall, I was the guy who was saying that it's quite possible that the new breakout hit of the DC's New 52 would be Mr. T, Mr. Terrific. Yes, I said that, and it didn't quite come to pass, did it? So hopefully I'm going to be a little bit more on the nose with some of my suggestions here. But back to Forever Evil number 6. I'm a DC fan at heart. That's where my fandom took hold when I was a kid. Super Friends was on TV, and of course I started buying Justice League comics, and the rest, as they say, is that. So just anytime you can get the whole band together, not just the Justice League, but almost the whole DC universe for an event, that is something that interests me just right out of the gate. I'm not such a big fan of the grim and gritty take that DC has taken now with the New 52. I think they could just, you know, relax that and go ahead and give us more realistic stories, what have you. But you don't have to be grim and gritty to be realistic. I think there are aspects to the Forever Evil series that are a little bit darker than I have necessarily a taste for. But I do have to say this for DC. I think their continuity is tightening up, especially over the last few months. And I appreciate that. I like what Geoff Johns is trying to do here. He's a fantastic writer, loved his Aquaman run, which he just finished up. And now I'm looking forward to how he's going to be wrapping things up, at least with this series on Forever Evil. It is written by Geoff Johns, art by David Finch and Richard Friend, cover by David Finch. We have a $3.99 cover price for 32 pages. Now, the solicit goes like this, which is somewhat compelling to me. There's a little bit of marketing speak in here, of course, but it's promising some interesting stuff. We'll see if it delivers. The final fate of Nightwing. The most unlikely of allies have set the crime syndicate in their sights, and they're playing for keeps while the life of a hero hangs in the balance. Plus, the identity of the mysterious man in the hood is finally revealed. And of course, that's been, you know, getting some buzz. Who is this guy, you know, underneath the hood? Of course, the other thing getting some buzz is what's going on with Nightwing. I don't want to, you know, put out any spoilers right now, but there have been some significant events that have occurred in this series regarding Nightwing. I don't think continuity has been that tight regarding this particular part of the story. I'd like to see more about how what's going on is affecting Dick Grayson and Nightwing. Maybe we'll get some of that here. They're certainly teasing a lot with the final fate of Nightwing. What does that mean? Well, no matter how it turns out, it sounds like it's a must-read to me. So that's why I'm including it in this preview spotlight. I'll be back with some more picks later on. And for now, let's go back to the guys.
Yeah, hi, this is Sam, and I wanted to talk about Justice League number 28, written by Geoff Johns, cover and art by Ivan Reis and Joe Prado. Forever Evil continues with the Justice League gone. New heroes continue to rise up through the DC Universe. The crime syndicate tried to kill him, but now Cyborg is back to settle the score, and with him are the Metal Men. I'm actually really excited about this. Platinum, lead, gold, tin, and copper are some of my all-time favorite characters. The Metal Men, we haven't seen in a while. I am very excited. I think this is the first time we're going to see them in the New 52. And like I said, these are just, they're great, fun, kind of classic comic book type characters. I am really excited to see the Metal Men joining the DCU, whether they're permanent fixtures in the Justice League, or they get a backup feature, or whatever. Any Metal Men we can get is good in my book, so I am excited about that.
I have to second Sam's pick of Justice League number 28. I am a fan of the Metal Men. This looks to be a new and hopefully improved version of them, not that they needed any improvement. They were a great set of characters. And I believe the last time we saw them really well featured was in the Wednesday Comics run back in 2009. I think they were also in the, they had a backup feature in the Doom Patrol, but then Generation Lost. And really, since the New 52, we have not seen them at all. I am hoping that this is something that will springboard them into potentially their own series, because they can be just a ton of fun, a very unique set of characters, and it's great to see them added back to the DC universe proper and such. This is a comic book page pick of the month. We got a 50% discount through DCBS. So once again, I've got to compliment Sam on his great taste in comics, and you know, really encourage everyone to check out Justice League number 28. Again, that's on page 81 of the previews catalog.
Hey guys, this is Drew with a pick from DC on page 114. It's Harley Quinn number 3, written by Amanda Connor and Jimmy Palmiotti, with art by Chad Harden. So that's who the artist is. Now we know. This is 32 pages for $2.99. This is a Valentine's Day themed episode. This wouldn't be my thing normally, but just finished issue 0, and I thought it was very fun and inventive, and enjoyed it a lot. So this is now on my radar, and now something I want to continue to check out and support, just because of how well this creative team handled that 0 issue. So they won me over with that, and I'm going to stick by them for a little while and check out their issue for their regular series. I would suggest you give it a try if you haven't. If you haven't read 0, go ahead and do that and see if you like it as much as I did.
It's Darren back here with my second pick for this preview spotlight episode of the Comic Book Page podcast, and that is Adventures of Superman number 10. It's on page 124 of previews. It's written by Josh Elder and Derek Friedolfs, art by Victor Ibanez and Sean Galloway. And Cheeks Galloway did the cover, too, by the way. It's a 40-page book for $3.99. And, of course, this is the Digital First series that DC Comics has been putting out on its app. For the last couple of years now, I have been all in on digital. I am a digital exclusive consumer of comic books for various reasons. You know, we just don't have room in our home to accumulate all that paper, for one. And the other is, it's just the way that I guess I prefer to consume my comics. So I've already read this issue and what's in this issue, but I can wholeheartedly recommend this. I gave it a 5 out of 5, and here's why. We have two stories in here. One is called Dear Superman. Superman's number one fan watches from afar as the last son of Krypton battles an upgraded Metallo in the streets of Metropolis. And In Care Of, illustrated by Sean Cheeks Galloway, introduces a young boy who needs Superman's help to defeat a monster. Now, one thing that I'm not particularly, I already mentioned this, one thing I'm not really fond of is how DC has really gone dark and gritty. It's kind of like the 90s all over again. It's just, you know, it's okay sometimes, but I just don't like how often they've been using that. Well, just so happens that these are out of continuity stories, and these are uplifting tales about how Superman is not only a fixture of good in the world, in this make-believe world of DC Comics, but he's also a champion for children. And both of these stories have a lot to say about how children look up to Superman and what they see when they are watching Superman do all the things that he does. And it's really touching. In fact, I teared up a couple of times, especially on the first story that's in this collection. I wholeheartedly recommend it. There's a lot of heart to these stories. The art is a little bit more cartoonish, somewhat indicative of what you see on the cover there. But if that's not your bag, don't let that dissuade you from picking this up. The stories are worth it. And I thought the art was actually quite good, but the stories are worth checking out, especially if you're looking for an uplifting tale for a change from DC Comics. I much prefer this take of Superman versus the he's out of control and murderous type of Superman that we've had in a few other incarnations of DC Comics recently. And there's one exception to that portrayal that's coming up in my next pick that you will get in just a little bit. Hi again, everybody. It's Darren again with my third pick from the previews catalog for this comics preview spotlight episode of the Comic Book Page podcast. This pick is from page 126. It's Injustice Year 2, Number 2. This is written again by Tom Taylor, who wrote the first series, art and cover by Jeremy Rapik. And apologies on the pronunciation if I didn't get that right, by the way. It is coming out February 12th, 32 pages, $2.99. And here's the solicit. With Batman out of action, a grieving Black Canary begins to assemble her own team to combat Superman's New World Order. and Earth's heroes aren't the only ones concerned about the Man of Steel's rule. Word is spreading across the galaxy. Powerful beings across the stars turn their attention towards Earth. Now, I mentioned before that I'm not really fond of the darker takes on the DC universe, and this series is certainly dark. Woo! Now, when I first read this series, in fact, I'm picking it up digitally. Of course, it's a digital first offering from DC Comics. When I picked up number one a few months ago, I dismissed it immediately. It was really dark. I don't want to give any spoilers away, but a major character in Superman's life dies. And from there, it just descends into, lots of chaos and blood and murder and everything else. But there was something that brought me back. I think I had read some conversations on the internet, from folks who were saying they were really enjoying this. And they were enjoying this as an Elseworlds tale, which it is. I mean, it doesn't take place in current continuity. Many of you listening know that. So I gave it another shot with, the second and the third, issues, and I started getting hooked. The series just picked up steam from there, and eventually I was just loving this book, despite what they're doing with Superman, turning him into a very dark and murderous character. As an Elseworlds tale, it is compelling, and so as a result, it's my third DC pick this month, and it's the second one that's out of continuity with DC Comics right now, with the New 52 at least. I wholeheartedly recommend it. If you haven't been reading this, do pick up the first series. It's actually a fairly quick read, considering how many issues there are. And I thoroughly enjoy it. I know John has said he likes it, and others here on this podcast have liked it as well. So, Injustice Year 2, number 2, on page 126.
This is TJ again with my next pick, which is in the Vertigo section on page 140. One of my absolute favorite series in all of comics, probably top 5, definitely top 10. Astro City Through Open Doors hardcover, which collects the first 6 issues of the newest run of Kurt Busiek, Brett Anderson, and Alec Ross's Astro City. It's just such a great take on superheroes. And I'm sure a lot of people who listen to this podcast do read Astro City. And I just, as I'm a collections guy, I don't read single issues. I just read hardcovers and trades and things like that. I just couldn't let the people that might be interested in dipping their toe in the water who haven't tried Astro City to give it a shot through this hardcover, which is 50% off through DCBS. So you're getting 6 issues for $12.50. And it's just such a great different take that these creators have on the superhero world and ethos. And a lot of their stories, if you haven't read Astro City before, is kind of the fighting of bad guys and things a lot of times is in the background. They choose to instead focus on the everyday lives of the people who in the cities who are affected by the villains and the superheroes fighting. Obviously, they still do have a decent amount of focus on the superheroes and what's going on, but a lot of what is really so different from your average Marvel and DC comic is that they explore the cities and the places where all this stuff takes place to the eyes of people, everyday average people, the house cleaners, the accountants, things like that, that really you don't get to see in other comics. And I just really, really enjoy the character work they put into it. And the art is so consistent. They've always been these three creators on this book. And so it's just one of my absolute all-time favorites. So if anyone is interested in this kind of stuff, check it out.
Hey guys, this is the pick from Drew. This is from Vertigo on page 141. It's Astro City number 9, written by Kurt Busiek, art by Brent Alexander, and cover by Alex Ross. 32 pages at $3.99, and I don't even care what it's about because they're all great. So I'm pretty sure this one's going to be just as good as all the first 6 that I've read. So I can't recommend this title enough, this writer enough. He does a fantastic job with this, and you should check it out if you haven't. Go back and check out some of the early issues, and just don't want you to forget about Astro City number 9 because it's a great title.
This is Derek from the podcast The Comics Alternative. My next pick of the month is in the Vertigo section on page 142. Gabriel Ba and Fabio Moon's Day Tripper. the deluxe edition. Now, this is a hardcover. A few years ago, they came out with a trade paperback of Day Tripper, which was originally a miniseries. Now we have a deluxe hard copy edition. Basically, this is the story of an inspiring writer by the name of Braz de Oliva Domingos, and in each chapter, or in the original miniseries, each issue of the comic encapsulated a particular moment in his life. And so if you read the entire series, or in this case now, the entire collection, from beginning to end, you get each chapter, which was an issue, taking on a moment in Domingo's life. And so you have his entire life, basically, especially as a writer, from beginning to end. It's an ambitious work. It's an impressive work. It has been highly praised. And now we find it in a deluxe hardcover edition from DC. DC and Vertigo do a great job of putting out these nice deluxe editions. They're a little bit oversized, and so they're great to hold. They're great to look at. I'm wondering how the deluxe edition will be different from the original trade paperback collection, outside of the fact that it's hardbound and it's a little bigger. You would think that with the deluxe edition, we'd get maybe a little more in terms of process or additional art. It doesn't say anything about that in the solicit, so I'd be curious to see what is new, if anything, in the deluxe edition. If you've never read Day Tripper before, then this would be the perfect opportunity to do so, because you have a nice edition, the deluxe edition of Day Tripper, and you can find out more about it on page 142 of the previews catalog.
This is TJ with my next selection. It's also in the Vertigo section, page 142, the Day Tripper deluxe edition hardcover, with writing by Gabriel Baugh and Fabio Moon, and also art by the same duo. The description is, what are the most important days of your life? Fabio Moon and Gabriel Baugh answer these questions in the new deluxe edition hardcover, the hit 10-issue miniseries that won praise from such comic veterans as Terry Moore, Craig Thompson, and Jeff Smith. Following aspiring writer Braz de Oliva Domingos, as each chapter the Day Tripper appears into a completely different moment in his life, Moon and Baugh tell a beautiful lyrical tale of Domingo's entire existence, from his loves to his death and all the possibilities in between. I'm so excited that this is finally in the deluxe edition hardcover. They had a trade paperback of it, but I've been waiting and hoping that if they would put out a hardcover of it, because DC does a really good job with their deluxe edition hardcovers. And this story is just so good. The watercolors that these two artists use just make the story so beautiful. And like the description said, it's about the possible paths this guy's life takes, and each issue deals with each one of those possible paths. And it's such a heartbreaking comic in some places, and such an awe-inspiring comic in others. And I just wanted you guys to know that the deluxe hardcovers come out, because I know you guys have talked a little bit about this before, but it's just such a great series, and the art and the writing from these two brothers is awesome.
Yeah, hi, this is Sam again, and this pick is in the IDW section, and that is City, the Mind and the Machine, number one, written by Eric Garcia, art by Javier Fernandez. New from the Darby Pop, Ben Fisher helped build the world's greatest surveillance system, Golden Shield, which utilizes every camera, cell phone, and computer in San Francisco to battle crime. There's only one problem. Gold Shield can't work without a human mind to operate it, resulting in a controversial melding of man and machine. Writer Eric Garcia delivers an action-packed story that examines the role of security and technology in our modern society. I love the concept of the story. I think it's real interesting. I think surveillance and that kind of stuff in the modern world is a very interesting kind of thing to think about, and a philosophical question. The story sounds interesting. The artwork on the cover, which is by Tommy Lee Jones, kind of reached out and grabbed me, and I read the description, so I'm really excited about that, and I'm looking forward to checking out City, the Mind and the Machine, number one, from IDW.
Again, I've got a second Sam's pick here. This is one of the ones that is a comic book page pick of the month. So we got a 50% discount through DCBS on City, the Mind, and the Machine. And again, like he said, surveillance and intelligence gathering in this day and age is a very topical subject, a very interesting subject. And I like how they're using, in this case, the computers for the data collection, but a human mind for the what to make of it. So I'm very curious about this one. I'm going to definitely try out the first issue. Haven't decided if I'm going to go beyond it or not, but looks like a lot of fun. So again, Sam, great pick. This is City, the Mind and the Machine, number one. It's a $3.99 comic. It's a 50% discount through DCBS because it's Comic Page Pick of the Month. Check it out.
Yeah, hi, this is Sam again, and my next pick from Image Comics is Apocalypse Al, number one, story by J. Michael Straczynski, art by Sid Codian and Bill Farmer. Allison Carter is a private detective. Her beat, the end of the world, or more accurately, preventing same. With an attitude of shoot first and the hell with the questions, she leads a life that would drive other investigators mad, filled with monsters, demons, trolls, mad prophets, zombie detectives, techno wizards, machine gun toting imps, and dead boyfriends. In the first action-packed installment of this new universe, Al is given her biggest assignment ever, one that will take her into the heart of ultimate darkness itself. First of a four-issue miniseries, this issue contains 30 pages of story, unbroken by advertisements. There's a few things that kind of drew me to this issue. One, I'm a big fan of Mr. Straczynski's writing, so that was one thing. The other thing is, while I'm not familiar with this art team, there are some preview pages and the cover by them, and it is simply gorgeous. So that was another thing. And a third thing is 30 pages, no ads, and $2.99 still. I like to try to support the creators and the publishers that still believe in the $2.99 price point. So that combination of all those things has got me interested in trying this book out, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Hey guys, this is Drew with a pick from Image on page 218. It's Elephant Man number 56. This title came to my attention with a weekly comic spotlight, and we really enjoyed this. And so I highly recommend you picking up Elephant Man number 56. This is a story by Mark Schweikert and Richard Starkings with art by Shaky Kane, who I don't know if that's the normal artist or not. This is issue 56, and you may think, why would I want to jump on at 56? Well, I jumped on at 51 and had no problem at all. And this is a similar jumping on situation after a story arc is finishing up, and another good place to hop on. This is 32 pages at $3.99, and I believe it's called Blood and Sand, this new story that takes off, and you should definitely give this a shot, like I did, and I was really, really surprised and pleasantly so. So check out Elephant Man number 56 on page 218.
Hello, it's Darren again with my next pick for the preview spotlight episode, and my next pick is from page 227 of the previews catalog. It's Satellite Sam, number 6, by Matt Fraction, art by Howard Chaykin. It's 32 pages, $3.50, from Image Comics. I've thoroughly enjoyed this series. I know that it's getting maybe some mixed reviews on the internet. There are some who enjoy it more than others. I'm only a couple of issues in. I have a little bit of catching up to do, but what I enjoy so far are a couple of things. I'm a student of the Golden Age television and of early films and so forth, and old-time radio. And this just, you know, because it takes place in the 50s and has to do with, you know, the behind-the-scenes drama, I guess, of a television network at the time, I just find it fascinating. I also have television production background, so I understand some of the terminology that is being used in this book. And so I'm kind of geeking out on that. Anyway, I think it's as a murder mystery, it certainly works as a period history of where television was at in the 1950s. I think it's good. Made up history, of course. It's not a real network. But I recommend it. And with Satellite Sam number 6, volume 2 is beginning. It's in the solicit there. So obviously we can expect that this will be the beginning of the next trade paperback in this series. But the solicit reads, Volume 2 of Satellite Sam starts here. The son of the slain star of Satellite Sam steps into his father's shoes in more ways than one while falling into bed with any woman that'll have him. One of the stars of the show with the dubious past finds herself in the media spotlight and trouble with the law. So that's what's going on here. I've been enjoying it. I'm curious as to where this series is going to go next. So I recommend Satellite Sam number 6. Hi again, everybody. We are hitting, for my picks now, the Marvel catalog. This first of my Marvel picks is from page 5 of the Marvel Previews catalog. It is Fantastic Four number 1, written by James Robinson and Leonard Kirk taking over the art chores. It's a $3.99 book, so at least with this number 1 issue, Fantastic Four is $3.99 as opposed to $2.99 where it has been. That's a little bit of a bummer. But if it's good, if it's really good, I guess that's where we're headed, right? Towards these prices, it would seem more often than not. I'm a huge fan of the Fantastic Four. It's one of the very first comic books I ever read. The first being Justice League. Then I got into Batman. Then it was Amazing Spider-Man, followed by Fantastic Four. In fact, for a stretch, it was my favorite team book. And I haven't been a huge fan, I guess, of this last run. But if James Robinson can work some of his magic that he does on occasion in stories on the Fantastic Four, I'm there. Now, the title of this particular issue is The Fall of the Fantastic Four. Makes you wonder what that's all about. It's part one of this story. The world's greatest comics magazine begins anew with Marvel's first family, the Fantastic Four. But as the brilliant Mr. Fantastic, the compassionate Invisible Woman, the ever-loving Thing, and the hot-headed Human Torch embark on a strange mission, they aren't met with new beginnings, but an untimely end. As the family of cosmic explorers heads towards their darkest hour, who could possibly be behind their downfall? And how is one of their oldest enemies, the sadistic dragon known as Feng Fang Foom, involved? Prepare for the fantastic. And when you've got Feng Fang Foom involved, it's going to be fantastic, at least in terms of story and art, right? So I have high hopes for this one. Looking forward to it. And it is 32 pages. Fantastic Four, number 1.
Yeah, hi, this is Sam again, and this pick is from Marvel, and that is She-Hulk number 1. Written by Charles Soule, art by Javier Pulido. And the description reads, Jennifer Walter is the She-Hulk, a stalwart Avenger, valued member of the FF, savior of the world on more than one occasion. She's also a killer attorney with a pile of degrees and professional respect. A 7-foot-tall, drink of cool emerald water, she's tough enough to knock out Galactus with one punch. Possibly. And has a heart bigger than the moon. But juggling cases and kicking bad guys' butt is starting to be a little more complicated than she anticipated. With a new practice, a new paralegal, and a mounting number of supervillains she's racking up as personal enemies, She-Hulk might have bitten off more than she can chew. But she just calls that Tuesday. A few things about that drew me to this issue. I have loved the Jen Walters character going back to when she joined the Fantastic Four the first time. I haven't read much of her in 10 years or so, but with the Marvel Now and the new number one, and Charles Soule, who I've thought has been a heck of a writer on some of the things I have seen him do, I think this is a great opportunity to kind of check this character out again. Again, a real fun character who's been great over the years, and I'm looking forward to this issue.
Hi again, everybody. My next two picks are both Well, they're two issues of the same title from Marvel Comics, the double shipping Superior Spider-Man. I'm looking at number 27 point now and number 28. This begins an arc called Goblin Nation, written by Dan Slott, and Giuseppe Camuncoli is doing the art chores. This is another book I've just been absolutely loving. I'll join you guys in your love for this title. I've been on board since, Amazing Spider-Man 698 brought me back into the fold for Spider-Man. I've been away for a while, and I am loving the ride that we're on now. In Goblin Nation number 1, the so-called Superior Spider-Man has failed. Under his watch, the Green Goblin took control of New York's underworld. This is all Otto Octavius's fault. Now it's his responsibility to take the Goblin down. And in number 28, it's part 2 of Goblin Nation. And it does say here it involves an assault on Spider Island. I love it. I'm there. I'm excited for this. I have no reason to believe that it's going to be anything less than wonderful. So, Dan Slott, you got me for 2 more issues of Superior Spider-Man.
Next up in the Marvel previews on page 26 is Loki, Agent of Asgard, number 1. This is looking to be kind of a new, not a new take on Loki, but a new use of him. And it's, I think, coming out of the way he was used in Young Avengers very well, very successfully. And, you know, it's saying, kid, Loki's all grown up, and the God of Mischief is stronger, smarter, and sexier and sneakier than ever before. I think they're positioning him as kind of the ultimate con man of the Marvel Universe. And in this starting storyline, he's taking on missions from the All-Mother of Asgard, and he has to do a heist on Avengers Tower. So this could be a very fun mix of the North's mythology, the Marvel version of it at least, superheroes, because I mean it's going to involve the Avengers, and a heist film. This sounds like just a ton of fun. I'm very much looking forward to where they go with this and how this pans out. It could be a complete train wreck, but I'm not thinking it's gonna be. It's got a lot of potential and a lot of risk, just because, again, the mashup of the different genres and whatnot. It's a $2.99 comic book, which I really appreciate. There's not that many coming out new these days from Marvel, it seems like. I really enjoyed, you know, how he's been used over in Young Avengers, and I think this is going to be a much more dynamic, interesting take on the character than when he had a run, a very good run, though, in Journey into Mystery. So, once again, Loki, Agent of Asgard, number 1, looks to be an ongoing series. It's on page 26 in the Marvel previews. It's a comic book page pick of the month, so we got a 50% discount, taking it down to $1.50, $1.49, whatever. So, check it out.
Yeah, hi, this is Sam again. My next pick from Marvel is Dexter Down Under, number 1. Dexter returns in an all-new, all-Australian adventure written by his creator, Jeff Lindsay. It's a new blood-soaked adventure starring Dexter Morgan, who isn't just Miami's number 1 forensic blood spatter expert. He's also a serial killer who targets other serial killers. When Dexter travels down under, he quickly discovers that sharks aren't Australia's only deadly predator. This is written by Jeff Lindsay, the man who originally created the character and wrote the books. Marvel just did a previous miniseries written by Mr. Lindsay as well, which I really enjoyed, dealing with Dexter and essentially tracking down a philanthropist slash psychopath who had tormented him as a child. This Dexter, I will say, is the Dexter from the novels, a little different than the Dexter from the television show. Not wildly so, but some minor things here and there that do make them slightly different. But anyways, like I said, I've read all the books by Mr. Lindsay. I did watch the show as well, and I've always liked the Dexter character. They did a great job with the last miniseries. If you haven't read it, it's also available as a trade, solicited in last month's Marvel previews, and a new series starting here in February, Dexter Down Under number 1.
And my final pick, this is Darren again, my final pick for the episode today is Superior Spider-Man Team-Up number 10. We have Kevin Shinnick doing the writing duties and Marco Ciccetto on art. And I have to tell you, I've just been loving this series as well, probably as much as the main Superior Spider-Man series. It's a lot of fun. I love team-up books. And it seems like the writers of this book have really been in sync with Dan Slott over the events of the series. You know, I love this little subplot that's been going on in this book, which began in Avenging Spider-Man, of Doc Ock as Spider-Man, capturing a lot of these villains and holding them captive. Just a really interesting, story that's going on there. But I love it, and I'm looking forward to more. This is part two of a prelude to Goblin Nation, so I'm wondering if that means it's in continuity, supposed to take place before Superior Spider-Man. The main title. I suppose it is. Anyway, I highly recommend this book as well. It's been fun being a part of this again. Thank you very much for taking my submissions, John, and just doing an awesome job on Comic Book Page. I know that it's got to be a lot of work putting this all together. I'm sure it's a ton of work. But what you're doing for comics and for fandom is very admirable, and I think we all appreciate everything that that you've been doing with this. So, thank you. I look forward to listening to the other submissions, and we'll see you next time.
Hey guys, this is Drew with my pick from Marvel on page 69 of the Marvel's preview catalog. It's Daredevil number 36 by Mark Waid and Chris Samnee on art and cover. This is the astounding final issue, 32 pages at $2.99. And this would be very sad for me because I've enjoyed this this comic so much over the last couple of years, and but I have found out that Wade and Samnee are coming back to relaunch Daredevil with number one in a month or two, so it won't be going too long. But I must get a final plug in for the series that is as it's currently running, and it's great. And so you might as well check it out. It's one of Marvel's best, and consistently a great read and very enjoyable. So I highly recommend Daredevil 36. Thanks.
This is Derek again from the Comics Alternative Podcast. My next pick of the month is on page 248 in the Amazing Inc. Slave Labor Graphics section. It's Sanctuary, Volume 1, Fresh Meat. Now, this is a trade paperback. The first of Slave Labor Graphic Publishing's Digital First comics comes to print. A research station on a secluded island houses a game reserve / sanctuary where the animals seem to be just a tad smarter than the human researchers observing them. The arrival of a panda bear threatens to upset the delicate balance of life for everyone involved. On the surface, everything seems normal enough, but beneath all the cuteness lays something sinister and more than a little creepy. Now, I'm not familiar with the Digital First comic Sanctuary, so I've never seen this before, but the story sounds interesting enough. It reminds me a little bit of We Three from Grant Morrison, although I would guess not near as sophisticated and as moving, but who knows? It would be worth checking out to see what the case is with this. Written and with art by Stephen Coughlin, it is something that I think I may just check out. And you can find out more about it on page 248 of the catalog in the Amazing Slave Labor Graphics section.
Hey guys, this is Drew with a pick from Antarctic Press, 32-Bit Zombie number 1. Story by Fred Perry with art by David Hutchison. This is 32 pages. It is a black and white one shot for $3.99. This tells the story of a 16-bit console memory card that has lain dormant in a thrift store bargain bin for about a year, and it's cursed. A saved game is cursed. That sounds ridiculous, I guess, but I want to check it out anyway. It's piqued my curiosity. And so I, in spite of the solicitation, in spite of it being in black and white, in spite of it being $3.99, I'm going to check it out anyway just because it intrigues me. And so if it intrigues you as much as it intrigues me, Check out 32-Bit Zombie number 1 from Antarctic Press. Hey guys, this is Drew with another pick. This is on page 268 from Avatar Press. It's Extinction Parade number 6. This is writer Max Brooks, who of course did World War Z. And the cover and art is by Raulo Ciceros. 32 pages, and this is number 6 of a 12-issue mini-series, and it does come out bi-monthly. So there's some wait between issues. There's a bunch of different variant covers if you are so inclined. I usually get the wraparound cover myself. It's the same price and usually pretty cool looking. So this is a story of vampires and zombies and the fact that the zombie apocalypse has affected the vampire's food source. And they are slowly discovering and realizing what that means for them long term. It's been really awesome so far. I've enjoyed it a lot. And the art's super cool. And the writing is awesome. And so please check out Extinction Parade number 6 from Avatar.
And my next pick is from Boom Studios. It's on page 277. And not to be confused with my last pick of Loki, Agent of Asgard, this pick is Loki, Ragnarok and Roll number 1 of 4. This is another mashup. This time it's taking Loki, probably true to the Norse mythology, and mashing it up with the whole rock and roll genre. And basically, Odin has banished Loki to Earth and finds out he's a really good guitar player and apparently makes it big as a rock star. This is just a bizarre concept and one that I at least want to sample. I'm very much probably going to do a wait and see on the future issues. The art style here, usually not the type that I gravitate towards, but it may work really well for this story. Again, 4-issue miniseries, very different take on the Loki character, and having it run concurrent with a new offering for Loki over at Marvel, I'm just curious. So, should be a lot of fun. I think there's some people that would just eat this up, so hopefully now that they've heard about it, they'll check it out. It's again from Boom Studios. It's Loki, Ragnarok, and Roll, number 1 of 4 on page 277. Again, comic book page pick of the month, so we got a 50% discount on it. So, check it out. Next up on page 295 from Dynamite Entertainment is Turok Dinosaur Hunter number 1. This is from Greg Pak with art by Mirko Kolak, who's a name I don't really recognize, although he or she has done some Conan work. Turok, of course, is one of the Gold Key characters that became one of the foundation characters for the original Valiant line. And I think a few years ago, Dark Horse tried bringing this character back. I know they did Magnus and Solar. I'm trying to remember if they did Turok or not. He's had a few different variations over the years, just from Valiant and Acclaim. Fun, interesting character. Basically, you've got a character kind of lost in time and essentially an Indian having to go fight dinosaurs. So I'm very curious what Dynamite's going to do with this, how well it's going to work. So I'm definitely on board for at least the first issue. It is a $3.99 comic. We've got a 50% discount through TCBS, making it a much more palatable $2 or $1.99. But again, Turok has been a major character, had a number of video games over the years. So if you aren't sure about it and you shop at a local store, check it out on the rack when it comes out. I think it's well worth taking a look at. They've got interview with Greg Pak on it on page 297 of the previews catalog. Some sample art from the covers and whatnot on 294 and 295. So take a look, see if it's something you like, and check it out.
Derek again with the Comics Alternative podcast and blog, and my next pick of the month is in the Fantagraphics section on page 322. Insect Bath, number 1, This is an anthology comic by a variety of different people. It includes the work of creators such as Max Klotfelter, Alex Delaney, Emin Ebsi, Noel Freibert, Sammy Harkham, Jackson T. Miles, Scott Roller, and Matthew Thumber, as well as others. One of the things that's interesting about this is that with publishers such as Fantagraphics, Drawn Quarterly, and others of their ilk, they used to publish serials in addition to book collections. They've tended to publish fewer and fewer serialized comics. Right now, the two main ones that I can think of that are left are Adrian Tomine's Optic Nerve from Drawn Quarterly, and then Michael Kupperman's Tales Designed to Thrizzle from Fantagraphics. So Fantagraphics especially has migrated away from the serialized comic, but here they're bringing one to the fore. This is a $3.99 book. It's an anthology, which again is a little unusual in terms of a serialized comic coming out of Fantagraphics, but it's something that is worth looking at, and I'm wondering if this will remind me of the days of Zero, another anthology-type serialized comics from Fantagraphics a number of years ago. So you can check it out, find out more about this and other great Fantagraphics books on page 322 of the catalog. This is Derek again from the podcast and blog The Comics Alternative, and my next pick of the month is also in the Fantagraphics section, as many of my monthly selections are, and this one appears on page 323, and it is Canon by Wally Wood. This is a reprint, by the way, a riotous and raunchy no-holds-barred spy romp featuring beautiful women, explosive gunplay, naked catfights, Hitler, deaths from above, and more naked women. Really, what more could one want, correct? Because Canon first appeared in the U.S. military newspaper Overseas Weekly in the 1960s, it was not subject to the usual editorial censorship, and legendary artist Wallace Wood took full advantage of this. Drawing from newly unearthed source material, Fantagraphics will be producing the biggest, baddest, best-looking collection of Canon ever. You also have a few page selections of on page 323 of what to expect in Canon. As I said earlier, this is something that they had put up before, but they're re-releasing this in a new package. It's a black and white comic. Some of it gets rather racy because you don't have the same kind of censorship with military overseas publications as you had with, let's say, Wally Wood stuff produced here in the States. But if you like this stuff, and I do, then it's definitely worth checking out. That's Canon by Wally Wood, the legend Wally Wood, and you can find out more about this and other Fantagraphics books on page 323 of the catalog.
Hey guys, this is Drew with a pick from Oni Press on page 332. It's The Bunker, number one. This is was originally a digital only, I thought, book, and it was in black and white, and now it is in color, 48 pages for $3.99. It's probably collecting a few of the digital issues together, and man, it was a lot of fun. It was really good, well-written comic. It was a landscape digital only, so I'm kind of concerned on how that's going to transfer. But it looks like from the art that they are kind of preserving that landscape look, maybe top and bottom type of deal. So I'm definitely going to check it out. And this looks like a heck of a deal for $3.99 and 48 pages. Like I said, it's writer Joshua Fialkov with art by Joe Infernari. And this was great. I've already read it, so I like it, and I want the print copy now. So if you're interested, it's on page 332 from Oni Press.
I've got a second Drew's recommendation there of The Bunker. Two things he didn't really point out. One, it's a 48-page comic, so it's a double-sized debut issue for the $3.99. And two, what he didn't know at the time he recorded that was this is a comic book page pick of the month, so it's 50% discount, dropping that price through DCBS down to $1.99 or $2. And Again, he's already read it through the digital version, so that's a good sign. The concept here is some kids are putting together a time capsule, and they discover a bunker with their names and artifacts from a time yet to come, and kind of what happens there. So the concept sounds very interesting to me. Again, seconding Drew's recommendation there. It's The Bunker on page 332 from Oni Press. Check it out.
Hey guys, this is TJ again, and my final selection for this preview spotlight is on page 340 in the Red 5 comics section. It's Atomic Robo and the Savage Sword of Dr. Dinosaur, Volume 8 in the Atomic Robo trade paperback series. And this is, the Atomic Robo is just some of the best comics out there. It's so funny, it's all ages, it's totally accessible. And you can get this, read it, and then hand it to your kids without worrying about violence or nudity or anything like that. And the characters are so funny, and there are a lot of these stories are standalone or done in ones, and so you can jump in at any point. And they also, in the next page, offer basically all the trade paperbacks for the whole series if you want to get caught up. The reason I'm so excited about this trade paperback in particular is because it has one of my favorite characters in all of comics, Dr. Dinosaur, who's kind of Atomic Robo's arch nemesis. So Atomic Robo is all about science and engineering and thinking your way through problems. And Dr. Dinosaur has a different way about going about things. He relies on crystals and weird mysticism, but somehow is always able to keep one step ahead of Atomic Robo for some reason, and it frustrates Atomic Robo to no end. Dr. Dinosaur also has some great snarky comments and is always basically making fun of Atomic Robo for overthinking things. And it's just such a great interaction between these two characters. And there's a lot of other supporting characters throughout the series. And it's just one of my absolute favorite comic series going right now. And it never gets enough press. There's, you know, when you look at the top 300 comics, it usually doesn't chart. Every once in a while it will. So I just get a little depressed when great comics like this can't sell in the 10 to 15, 20,000. Range. So if anyone is interested in trying out great all ages, great comedy adventure, check out Atomic Robo and the Savage Sword of Dr. Dinosaur on page 340.
Derek again from the Comics Alternative podcast and blog, and my final pick of the month is on page 347. This is in the Tomorrow's Publishing area. American Comic Book Chronicles, 1965 through 1969. The American Comic Book Chronicles continues its ambitious series of full-colored hardcovers where tomorrow's top authors document every decade of comic book history from the 1940s to today. John Wells covers the pivotal moments and behind-the-scenes details of comics during the stormy cultural upheaval of 1965 through 1969 in this particular volume. Now, there have been other volumes that have come out before this, as the solicit suggested, going back into the 1940s. And the reason why I wanted to highlight this is more as a wish for myself. This is something that a couple of people have suggested that I begin picking up, this series by Wells that he pulls together. And I haven't yet, and I'm a little ashamed of the fact that I have not, because this seems like not only an ambitious series, but an informative and intelligent one as well. Maybe with this volume that covers 1965 to 1969, I'll want to jump in, look at this, and then read some of the previous volumes that have come out. I'm a sucker for comics history. I'm a sucker for comics-related criticism and writing. And I hope that you will do what I will do, and that is read the solicit and check out American Comic Book Chronicles, 1965 through 1969, pulled together by John Wells. You'll find this in the Tomorrow's Publishing section of the catalog. Thanks a lot. Have a nice month.
Hi, this is Sam again, and this pick is from the Valiant section of the catalog, and that is Archer and Armstrong number 0. Once upon a time, a baby went into Project Rising Spirit. Who is Obadiah Archer? Where did he come from? And how can he do the incredible things he can do? Well, which is everything, remember? Fresh off the shocking conclusion of the Sect Civil War, learn the startling truth behind Archer's origin with an exciting look into his secret past by Valiant superstar Fred Van Lente and fan favorite artist Pierre Perez. Archer and Armstrong is kind of the first Valiant book I gave a shot to. It is still my favorite in many ways. I love it. I don't know anything about kind of the earlier Valiant stuff, just, you know, what I've read, reading It and Harbinger and Bloodshot kind of since the relaunch. And we have gotten almost nothing on Obadiah's kind of before he was adopted by the people that raised him. We've learned almost nothing about that other than he was at one point captured by Project Rising Spirit. So I'm looking forward to getting a backstory. All the Zero issues I have read from the Valiant relaunch have all been real good, so no reason to think this one wouldn't be as well. And in general, like I said, I really like this Archer and Armstrong title, and this seems like a good jumping on point for those of you that might not be reading it as well.
Now, I want to be clear that this is Archer number zero, issue of Archer and Armstrong, not to be confused with the previous zero issue of Archer and Armstrong, which mainly focused on Armstrong. Yes, this is a little confusing, and yes, this is a little annoying to me, but Valiant's been doing just some great stuff. That previous zero issue they did with featuring Armstrong and his brothers, really, really good stuff. I thought it was just terrific. I'm expecting equal quality here. It's written by Fred Van Lente, so I'm expecting it'll be a really good story. Perry Perez on art, so again, don't think I'll be disappointed there. Valiant's been doing some great stuff. Archer and Armstrong is one of my favorite books that they're doing. If I had to go down to only one, that's probably the one I would go. Fortunately, I don't have to make that decision, and I can stay all in. But it's a lot of fun. This looks to be a origin of him as to where did he get his amazing abilities and whatnot. How did he get into the sect? What's this all got to do with the Project Rising Sun and whatnot? And the Harbingers or whatever. So if you're looking for an entry point, this may be a good place. Again, Archer and Armstrong is one of the ones I really recommend. It is a $3.99 issue. It is normal 32 pages, but again, they give you a lot of value, I think, in their pages. 50% discount through DCBS. That drops the price down to $1.99, $2, whatever. Well worth doing. If you get your stuff at a local store, definitely either check out the local issues of Archer and Armstrong, see if they still have that previous zero issue, or check this one out. I think it's one of the easiest books to get on board with in the Valiant universe. Not that any of them are difficult to get on board with. The Valiant is definitely one of the publishers I'm keeping a very close eye on and getting, well, again, like I said, I'm all in. I'm getting pretty much everything they're doing and expect to stay along those lines. So, once again, Archer and Armstrong, Archer number zero, page 352 from Valiant. Check it out.
Hey everyone, this is Brandon. I go by Spidey Saves Today on the forums, and my pick for this month is Eternal Warrior number 6, Long Live the Eternal Emperor, written by Craig Pak, art by Trevor Harrison. The reason why I picked this book is Valiant is opening up its universe to the future with 4001, and I'm really curious to see how they tell the stories of the future of the Valiant universe. And also, I'm hoping they use this as an opportunity to introduce new characters. As you saw in the back of Unity, teased in an ad of bringing back Rye. So I am looking forward to this line of storytelling. And if you are reading Valiant, I'm sure you're as excited as I am. Thanks.
Hey guys, this is Drew with my final pick of the month. This is in the book section on page 378. It is 1001 Comics You Must Read Before You Die. It's a hardcover, and it's sale priced at $17.98. It's factor 6x9, 960 pages, though. So it's a lot of comics, and I'm anxious to read it just to see how many I have read. And how well I stack up, and then maybe what I've missed and slipped through the cracks. And this is the kind of book that I like to have on my bookshelf, right next to my Overstreet Guide and And next to Super Graphic, the infographic book that I talked about a little while ago, I think this fit there nicely. So it's 1001 Comics You Must Read Before You Die. It's written by Paul Gravett, and it's on page 378 of the previews catalog.
I want to start by thanking everyone who sent in clips this time around. I think we had a great selection, a lot of really good clips this time. So again, thanks. My order this time around, and again, this is before the previous teleconference tonight as I record this. And, you know, last Saturday as you listen to this, if you listen to it the day it comes out. Right now, my order is $480.36. I've got a few things on mine. That includes bags, boards. That's total out of pocket. I'm debating the Marvel Encyclopedia 75th Anniversary Edition, back issue magazine, a few things like that. So my order usually fluctuates a little between this point when I've, you know, kind of done my first pass on it, locking it down, and when I actually send it in. There are one or two things that I want to read the first issue of, committing to, although really I don't think there's any that'll be impacted this time around by that. So my like I said, my order changes around a little based on what new information comes my way. Right now I've got around 192 items on the list. A third of that, exactly 64 of them, so a total of a third from Marvel, a little under a third from DC, and then the rest going to everybody else. So again, I'm maintaining kind of a very even three-way split between the two big dogs and everybody else. But again, there is a ton of great stuff out there that I know I'm not getting and therefore can't talk about and comment on. So please send in clips. This episode is going to go up around the time, and really shortly after every month these episodes go up, the online solicits are up. So head over to Comic Book Resources. They've got Marvel, DC, Image, Dark Horse, IDW. Take a look at those. As you find stuff that looks interesting, you know, send in clips, make a note to do it, whatever. This time around, we'll have a little bit extra time, which is good because the holidays are in there. Normally, previews would have come out on the 25th of the month, but because of Christmas being that day and it being a non-shipping week, they've put that off until January 1st. The non-shipping week, what that means is everything that the stores are going to be able to put on sale on the 24th, and they're doing a one-day early on-sale date, street date, they will have gotten the previous week. I only think there's a handful of items, but I'm not sure off the top of my head what all would be available on the 24th. Hopefully a few new things or whatever, because otherwise it's going to be a really short weekly comic spotlight. So please, take a look at what's coming out in the previews. You know, put in clips for what you guys find interesting. This is how I find out about new stuff. Things get added to my list this way. Other people find out about new things. And, you know, again, TJ sent in a ton of great clips on some collected editions. I tend to get my stuff in the monthly format, so I really don't pay much attention to what's coming out in the collections. So thanks for sending those in. And again, Drew, Sam, Darren, and Brandon, thanks for sending stuff in. There's plenty of room for more clips. Don't feel constrained by how long these episodes are. Worst case, I break it in half and do an episode on a Wednesday and a Friday. I would love to have that problem. There's a ton of great stuff coming out. I want this to be a vehicle for letting people share what they're loving and why, so other people can get hooked on it. So the whole point of the game here. So hopefully you guys found something interesting in this episode, got a new comic to think about, or realized a comic you were thinking about might not be right for you. That's cool too, because we want you to spend your money on comics you're going to love and not ones that just really aren't in your wheelhouse, aren't in your areas of interest. So please send in clips next month. Thanks again for everyone who did it this time. Next time around, the deadline is going to be Saturday, January 11th. That's 10 days after previews is released on the 1st. We always do the deadline about 10 days after on that Saturday. Early morning, when I get up and start working on it, is when I need to have the clips by. That evening, 7 p.m. Central, I guess, you know, you can work the time zones out. We've got it all in the forum, is when the next previews teleconference is. And if you've got questions, you just want to talk about comics or whatever, hop on Skype and let's talk comics.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.